Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Fighting on Film podcast, the podcast all about classic and obscure war movies, from the Normandy landings to the days of chivalry and swords. If it's been captured on film, we're going to try and cover it. I'm Robbie of RM Military History.
I'm Matthew Moss of Historical Firearms and the Armourer's Bench.
Hello, welcome back to Fighting on Film. We recorded last week's episode and this week's episode back to back.
Yeah.
Because Matt was visiting FOF HQ, and we did two films. The first film was a rare one.
Silent Heroes.
Definitely yeah.
Listen to that episode if you haven't caught it.
Yeah, please do. It's an interesting film. And we're on to more sort of fighting on film fare with The Asylum's 2023 release, Assault on Hill 400.
Brand new.
I think it's a couple of months old, if that.
Yeah.
Over the time of review.
According to YouTube, the trailer was shared 3 weeks ago.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it could be even newer than that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Eric Roberts' most recent quote.
Yeah. I came across it one night on YouTube, and I was just like, yeah, this will definitely be something me and Matt will want to watch. And it's just everything that The Asylum does in a nutshell.
Mm. And guess what? It's their 25th. And year anniversary.
You think in 25 years the films might have got a little bit better.
You know what? They've hit their anniversary year and done exactly what Asylum always do.
Yeah.
And make
interestingly tropey.
Just lacking.
See, the thing is, we're at the point now where they're shot decently well.
Yeah.
But everything else is just off. Like it was from the B tier actors. The poorly staged, choreographed action, the threadbare plot. It's just everything's there. Rebels of PT Boat
216
or whatever. If you listen to that episode a few months back, then you know the kind of level that this movie is going in. But that was redeemable in the fact it was just so bad it was good. This is just bad.
Yeah, it had Danny Trejo too.
Danny Trejo, which was fun. And they were enclosed to a ship. Whereas this is so much space for them to cover.
It's back to classic Asylum ways. A small patrol going through some woodland, occasionally in a house.
Mm.
And it's just boring.
Yeah, and once you've seen... So the plot of this one is, it's set at Battle of the Hurtgen Forest.
Yeah.
It's meant to be a D company of the Rangers, they're assaulting Hill 400, and then they have to hold it.
Yeah.
So it's, some of it's based, in fact... Probably as far as it gets. You get some stock footage.
It's supposed to be about D Company Rangers, isn't it? It's like Rangers. Mm. It's eight guys, then four guys.
Yeah.
Walking through a forest.
Yeah.
Occasionally getting shot at by the same group of German dudes.
Mm. It's very confusing where they are and what they're doing. And
There's no plot.
There's no plot. The plot is so threadbare. It's going to assault the hill.
Billy Baldwin orders 8 men to take a hill that they've been trying to take for 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's the crux of the whole, like, allied line in the Hurricane Forest.
Mm.
And, like, then when they finally take the hill and they ask for reinforcements because there's just 4 of them left.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can't possibly send any more reinforcements into Hurricane Forest to secure that objective that I've been desperate to take for 3 months.
Bizarre. It's so bizarre. And like I said to Matt, I said, the one thing that annoys me about the Asylum movies is that I don't know if anyone else thinks this, but I think they're meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's not filmed as a parody. It's not filmed as a pastiche. It isn't tongue-in-cheek. There's nothing about it is.
No.
It's just war film tropes done badly. And I get annoyed at them more than I do. Like, we have a laugh when we watch them. We wisecrack and we make jokes and stuff when we're watching. But it's the fact they want you to take them seriously that really just sticks in my craw a bit. Mm. And I'm like, oh. You know, like, I've had an idea for years to make, like, a parody war film
that
is in the style of something like the sort of top Hot Shots movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you play into those tropes. But these movies don't do that.
No. They do in the tropes, but in a there's no tongue-in-cheek knowing.
Mm. Yeah, so you're just retreading old ground that's been done so many times before.
Because, basically, it's 4 guys and Eric Roberts as he isn't a war correspondent because he says he works for the government.
Mm.
So he must be like single corps or
they never fully explain who he is, why he's there. You know, he's just your war correspondent trope. And the hard ass like corporal or someone is really mean to him for no reason. And he's like, oh, you're no use to me unless you pick up a gun.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he can't really. If he's Signal Corps, he can. If he's a civilian, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really annoying. And then you've got just old as time sergeants and
everyone in this film is so old.
It's just stuff that normally I can let slide if the movie's good. But because nothing about this is redeemable,
yeah,
it's a shame. Like, it's...
Yeah. So it was directed by Christopher Wray. He has worked on interesting films such as Reptosaurus, Megaconda, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
Wow.
Two-Headed Shark Attack, Shark Week, Asteroid versus Earth, Three-Headed Shark Attack, Dick Dixter, Assault on Station 33. And then this is his 21st movie.
Wow.
Assault on Hill 400.
So a lot of Asylum films there.
Fair enough. He's one of their go-tos by the look of it, definitely. It was written by someone called George Clymer, who you will remember also wrote Rebels of PT-218.
Oh, well. That's the jewel in the crown.
It really is.
Of Asylum war films that we don't hate.
This is his second screenplay.
Okay.
After that one. And yeah, we've got classic Asylum artists. We've got Billy Baldwin. We've got Eric Roberts. And now we've got Michael Madsen.
Yeah.
Who play the two generals. And God, are those scenes a struggle to watch.
Yeah.
They
should have pulped this fiction.
Oh. Yeah. Was he? Yeah, he was, yeah. Wasn't
of course he's in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. He carves that bloke's... No, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. That was a good one.
Throw this into the reservoir.
It's... Yeah, so... And then, of course, it's an Asylum film, so there's a raft of young actors that are, you know, rounding out some of the cast. Not as many as on PT-218.
No, not as many.
You've got a couple of younger actors. And basically, they assault the hill.
Yeah.
They take a position of 5 Germans and MG-34. They go up the hill a bit further. They take on a position of 3 Germans.
It's really formulaic.
And 2 MG-34s.
Yeah.
Then they take out this bunker, which looks like someone's, like, patio.
Mm.
with some breeze blocks. And that is five guys with two MG34s.
Yeah, they do that ad nauseum till the movie ends, yeah. Practically.
They get all the way up the hill, and then they meet more Germans. Same Germans. It's the same dudes.
It is the same actors, and that's really jarring.
There's the really old... There's a scene where one really old actor, like, grapples with one of the American GIs, and then he gets the better of him and he pulps his head.
Yeah.
And then he makes like a pun. Afterwards.
He makes a pun at it, and then yeah.
It's...
They, like, build the character up to be an unhinged sort of person who's a bit burnt out, but then that's not what he is.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
He was at Point de Hoc.
Yeah.
Did you really... Well, there's a bit where, like, it was, did you really, like, shave your head into a mohawk?
Yeah, like, and they're like, that's airborne.
That's
like,
airborne. You're getting your D-Day American elite D-Day stuff mixed up,
yeah. It's really bizarre.
There's a distasteful Malmedy, like, callback.
Shoehorned in right at the end. It's
so weird. I mean... Then they turn up at like a field hospital, but it's run by two German nurses and no one else.
In the middle of nowhere.
And
at the top of this hill, there's an old abandoned stately house, home or something. Yeah.
It's a very mid, like, 1880s American house, which looks like it's been gutted.
Yeah.
And then, like, the head nurse kind of, like, falls for the squad leader.
Yeah.
And
kind of, not really.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a little peck on the cheek at the end, and it's God, just like ludicrous stuff where she shoots a German officer because he's about to shoot him, and it's like, well, why would you do that though? Like, why?
I know. There's so many. The problem is, there's so many little vignettes in this of things you've seen done in other movies much better.
Yeah.
But none of it hits.
No.
None of it works. It's so formulaic. You've seen it a million times before. Yeah. There's nothing redeeming.
Calling in fire support and it's taking too long.
It's
fire that's like too close and it might kill their guys. Mm.
Yeah.
Wounded people turning up later on.
Yeah.
And but... I mean, perhaps we should talk about some of the kit.
Yeah, let's do Alitalia.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's time for Alitalia on Fighting on Film.
All right.
It's 90% decent. So they've got M41 jackets, they've got the right
got the Ranger tabs on,
M1 Garand belts on, but then it's all this ancillary stuff.
Got the original Ranger tab as well, not the later one.
That's nice. But then it's the stuff that annoys me and irks me is this really simple stuff. They've got these weird like Bergen type rucks on. They don't need those. They've got another belt underneath their bar belt.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like some guys did it, but everyone's got it.
Mm.
They do the When Trumpets Fade thing where everyone's wearing the same kit.
Mm.
So it starts to look a bit weird.
I think it's really interesting because the way they've done it is they've looked at who is going to be on screen the most.
Mm.
They get the best looking kit.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the ancillary members of the squad get slightly less good-looking kit. And then the Germans get absolutely fucking atrocious stuff.
Yeah,
just like mashed, like, just the most basic, gray, awful crap.
A grey coat.
No, you know, no webbing.
Down helm. That's
like
it.
Like maybe a belt and a pouch or two.
Depends how.
There's a dude Matt's, with a Thompson at one point.
Yeah, Matt's right. It depends if you're going to be featured on a few scenes. Do you get better kit or not? And then all the firearms, I think, are either rubber molds or non-firing DX, or like Denix replicas.
It
shows too much. No bolts move.
No,
it's all actors replicating shooting,
and they all do it to such a weird like
degree,
varying degrees of recoil. Like just one's like just shaking himself, and then others are just like.
Ping. And I know it's a way to save money, and it's safer.
Yeah.
You know, post.
Rust
and all that, and that's becoming a thing in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but Asylum's been doing it for years.
Asylum's been doing it for a long time, but even then, you'd think, oh, we should maybe get a few either gas firing ones or something. Like, just to maybe give like our hero, our main character one.
Yeah,
because it just annoys me. There's only so many fake shootings I can...
It just looks naff.
Fake shooting I can take. Like, it does look naff, yeah.
If you haven't practiced it and you all get to, like, the same amount of recoil, like, there's 1,000 videos of M1 Garands being fired on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just go watch, like,
but then that would show a modicum of care. Like, it is... Yeah, and it annoys me. That feeds into... Because these movies annoy me at this point.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can tell... Effort's been put in to a certain point, like with the kit, like having, you know, one too many belts, one too many, you know, like weird rucksacks.
Mm.
It's just one thing too many.
Yeah.
It pisses me off because I know it's not, I mean, it's someone's fault somewhere, but it's not like, you know, a jobbing costume department, like head of costume department or a jobbing researcher. It's not their fault.
Mm.
It's just there's not enough care.
They probably don't have enough money, enough time.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough incentive to really nail it all down.
Or budget.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And some of it's fine. Like the nurse's uniform looked all right.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Like the kit is not incorrect in a lot of instances. No, it's, like we've seen films.
We've seen
where
a lot.
The kit
is a lot worse. Yeah. Yeah.
But there was a Panzer Schreck.
I was a Panzer Schreck. Once.
The dude did a weird recoil move with that as well.
There was a Kugelwagen.
There was a Kugelwagen.
Clearly the owner of the Kugelwagen driving it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he mouthed his cue to one of the actors in the car.
Did he?
Nodded at him and he then drove off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. So, the Kugelwagen arrives and outsteps Head German.
Yeah.
Who then goes and walks into the hospital to negotiate their surrender.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I know. There was a couple of ropey plastic knives.
Yeah. Linger on them too much.
Yeah.
That's what's annoying. It's stuff like that. I'm like, I know it's safe, but you're just showing me too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that blade's too chunky and you're bending it.
And because you want me to take the movie seriously, when you can see people with like fake knives and things, I'm like, well, you're not taking your own movie seriously. Yeah. So why should I as a viewer buy into what's happening?
Yeah.
You know?
Let's move on to general thoughts and final thoughts.
Yeah. Favorite scenes, final thoughts.
Yeah.
More loose. As I said last week, these couple of episodes can be more loose.
Let's do favourite scenes. I reckon we can pull one out of this. My favourite scene was the bit where they go into a random house, which is clearly not a German house.
Some stables.
Yeah,
that way.
Because it's like a farm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hergen Forest was known for its farms.
Oh, yeah.
Loads
of knocking around. There was towns in there and things, wasn't there? Bergstein or something.
Yeah, but... Not
they had a place
not
the
ranch houses
the
anyway.
Hotel,
but,
didn't they? They had like a place they used. Yeah.
So there's a bit in that where, it kind of breaks off into three bits. They two go into the house to kill some Germans quietly.
That's all they do in the
with
movie
a knife,
is kill
just
Germans.
Kill Germans.
Yeah.
The same Germans.
Yeah.
Then there's like a bit with the youngest member of the squad and Eric Roberts, who kind of like schools him through it in a way.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit where there's two guys in the stables.
Yes.
And that's my favorite bit because there's two of them and one of them kicks a box when some Germans are walking by. And instead of like opening up with the advantage and firing, they sort of like run and take cover.
Yes.
And then there's a really boring firefight.
Yeah.
Where they pick like guys off in like one by one in tandem. While one dude's like stood in the middle, like firing, doesn't get a scratch. As soon as he turns and runs away, then of course then he gets shot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's
just really cut and shut filmmaking.
It is.
Like there's nothing redeeming.
What was your favourite scene, Rob?
The start where they introduced what was happening in Herbert Forest and it was all stock footage.
Oh yeah, that, yeah.
Because the Signal Corps in the Second World War just shot infinitely better film footage than this. Sound. Like it I'm being facetious there, but I don't really know. I like the scenes with Billy Baldwin and Michael Madsen because they're clearly just chewing the scenery, picking their check up, being the name on the door to get people in.
The best one is that end sequence where they're both holding like hip flasks,
yeah,
and they like toast the victory
to the men of the free world.
Yeah,
as Michael
Madsen
puts it.
What are you doing?
It's
like,
so
what
funny.
Is this?
And then the two. American NCOs who just made it through, away. They just walk in like into the distance, but there's nothing behind them to walk to.
No,
it's really weird. Oh, I know. I like the thing they clearly spent a lot of money on, which was a really stupidly accurate for asylum. Anyway, it had like jeeps and Dodge weapons carries in it. CGI camp, like base camp, for Baldwin and Michael Madsen to be at. But then their bit was just one tent.
And they kept like framing the tent.
Yeah.
When they clearly moved it to another place to film.
It's weird.
And there's like an MG34 like on a bipod in front of the tent. And you're like, why is that there?
Like a 5 second.
And Baldwin keeps looking at it, but not mentioning it. And it's like, why are you doing this?
Like a 5 second CGI establishing shot of a US camp, World War II Army camp, was really well done. And I'm like, please don't tell me you spent.
It was ever so slightly better than the PT-218.
Yeah, exactly.
That CGI.
It had the weird sort of like, and I'm not putting the CGI artist down because it's difficult and whatever. But like, it had that Titanic 1997 robotic walking the people on the deck.
Yeah, and then I think the most.
But it was money. Good. It was good to see it.
The most money for the CGI was the bit where they shell.
Oh yeah, and that comes down.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a preset for all we know.
It could have modeled the house a little bit as well.
Yeah, maybe they did.
I am the effect is probably like stock.
Yeah.
But
it's fine, it's good enough. You know.
I think the thing that annoyed me the most about the film was Eric Roberts. Not knowing how
Matt,
film camera works.
Matt was going spare on that.
Like I've shot film for years because I like
La-dee-da, I've got an iPhone, mate. It does the same job.
Oh my god! Stop. Like I like shooting on film and it's fun, but oh my god! So he's there and he's the poor man's there, like trying to do his day's work and just clicking constantly.
Yeah,
clicking. And everyone in the squad's getting annoyed. I'm getting annoyed because he's clicking and he's not advancing the film reel at all. Like
Matt was so hung up on
that
the whole thing. It's hilarious.
Like 35 mil. Like you have to advance the film reel, otherwise you're just gonna like take multiple exposures.
we're gonna
get back with the entire Hergen Forest operation on one frame.
We said during he's doing a Robert Capa where he's He's took four photos of Omaha Beach the whole day and then, you know, allegedly had the film tampered with or put in a hot box. Not just avoided gunfire all day and not took many photos. Robert. That's one train of thought.
That is one thing they said about that.
I mean, if you're going to take four photos of Omaha Beach in 1944, take those four photos.
Oh, they're great photos. Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure.
And then don't lie about not poker anymore. No, I'm joking.
I'm sure that Eric Roberts's photographs were just as good. In fact, I know they were because he pulls out a couple out of
Eric Kappa.
Pulls out a couple out of
the most public domain. Yeah.
And then he hands them, and pictures. The guys look at them, and then he goes, "You keep it."
Gee, that's a nice photo.
Yeah. You keep it.
You keep it.
Like, what are you going to do with that? Why are you carrying them around? Like,
in case someone calls into question his professionalism.
That is it. Yeah, that profession. Must be it. It just really irritated me. Like, he was like clicking way too fast. Like, film cameras, you can't click repeatedly. We didn't have like self-advancing film cameras until like the mid-70s.
This week on Fighting on Film, Matt mansplains photography.
Oh, I'm not mansplaining, I'm just angry.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know, I get it. A lot of the movie is just very boring, so your brain went to those places.
It wasn't as entertaining as PT-218.
They had the added pizzazz of filming on a ship.
They did. There was no bulkhead shots. There was some quite competently shot bits.
Yeah, there were. There was some nice lighting grading in places.
Some nice framing and it was. Yeah, there was no lingering bulkhead shot, which disappointed me because that is my favorite shot in all of cinematic history.
It's a good one. I just think to round out my thoughts this week is that it's clear what I think throughout the episode. But I'm a bit tired of these ones.
I'm just thankful that, you know, after 25 years, Asylum did a war movie where they just continue to do what Asylum has always done.
They ran unashamedly Asylum. I mean, you can't knock them for that.
Yeah.
But I would rather they maybe make a few less and compile some resources into one movie instead of like,
put the budget together.
You know, cobble together something a little bit better.
What really annoyed me was like the end card that says something about, you know, D Company Second Rangers, and it's commemorating you know the half fought victory at Hill 400.
Yeah,
and I'm like, there's nothing about this film that commemorates this in a fitting way.
No.
It has
nothing to say about anything enough. No. Like last week's movie that was trying to say too much and didn't have to do it.
Mm.
This one just doesn't have anything to comment like efficiently enough.
Mm.
Like it's just a really cheap, bog standard, by the numbers formulaic war movie with a few B movie stars from the 90s in it. That's all it is.
Mm.
And it's just, it's painful.
Yeah. And on that bombshell.
Do join us again next week when Matt should be back from America. That's why we're recording these back to back. Do keep it Fighting on Film. Check out fightingonfilm.com for the back catalogue of the show. Maybe start from number one and work your way up to number 140 odd, whatever we're on.
I think we're at like 145.
Something like that. Yeah, 150 is coming up, the big 150.
Who knows what we're going to do?
I don't know. Maybe the best of FOF.
Yeah, clip show.
Yeah.
It's just no context clip show where it's just like, do you remember that being in that film where that happens? You know.
Gee. Yeah. Me and you sat around a cat like a toasty log fire, like those weird South Park introductions in the 90s. Remember the train?
Yeah,
like that. Anyway, on another random reference that we love to pop in, do join us again and have a good week. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye. Fabulosa.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.